Benny and Patsy are back.
Julie's back.
Jerry's are here. Sorry.
Okay. Did the Case kids, Benny Case kids, come back? Okay, well, they may have been doing other things and didn't pay attention when it did the one, because it'll give you some time and then it'll knock you off the line completely. They'll dial back in after a bit. Okay, I know that Jerry has spent some time studying this week and praying about what it is that the Lord would have him to us this morning, so if you'd all give your best virtual smiles and your prayers, I'll turn it over to you, Jerry.
Thank you, Benny, and I would truly appreciate your prayers. I actually have quite a bit of reading to cover this morning, and so it might be easiest to follow and stay awake if you try to follow me in your scriptures. I think it would be good. I'm going to borrow a few words from Joshua to start out this sermon, just out of the 15th verse of the 24th chapter of Joshua. I'm just borrowing a few of those words to maybe give direction to this sermon. Choose this day who you will serve. I think that what I'm going to cover today, I'm going to cover some of the prophecies that I believe was talking about the situation that we live in today, and the fact that we really do have to choose who we serve, that we need to choose what is priority to us, and ask the Lord's help in sticking to it, and having a singleness of mind in following him. I'll turn over now to Matthew, the 6th chapter. And I'm going to start with the 19th verse. Again, as I preach today, I ask that you would be mindful that I don't see your faces, since this is a teleconference, and ask you to voice your questions if they come up. You have a comment, I won't be able to see it on your face. So you'll need to speak up, and I ask that you do. So Matthew, 6th chapter, I'm going to start with the 19th verse. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And it says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And I read this really by way of telling you how important it is that we choose who we will serve, that we choose who is that light that guides us and fills us. Because we can't serve God and mammon. We can't serve two masters. I'm going to turn over also to Alma, the 16th chapter. And the 231st verse. I'll have a page for you here in a second. It's page 431. And it says, ye cannot say when you are brought to that awful crisis that I will repent and that I will return to my God. Nay, ye cannot say this, for that same spirit that doth possess your bodies at the time that ye go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in the eternal world. When the crisis it's talking about, maybe I started a verse or two too late. Let me jump over to verse 230. It says, "229. And this I say unto you, said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance unto the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. And then it begins, you cannot say when you are brought to that awful crisis that I will repent, that I will return to my God. In other words, it's saying, we need to decide now. We need to choose today who we will serve. And it emphasizes it by saying that that by that choice, there is a spirit that possesses us. And it becomes that light that that fills your body, that fills your mind and your heart. What was the other thing that I read as I was reading through in Matthew? It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now I'm going to go ahead and jump over to what I'm really going to make my main reading. It's the chapters that I gave you last week. Is requesting that you might do a little homework before this sermon. I know not everybody was here to hear that. I'm going to start reading the beginning of the 12th chapter of the second book of Nephi. And what we find here, this being about, I don't know, maybe 600 B.C., is Nephi is near the end of his recording in this record. And he's giving the prophecies. It's actually, you could even start, if you study this on your own, in chapter 11. And Nephi is talking about the prophecies that the Lord has brought to him for the people, and also the prophecies of Isaiah, who I think Isaiah's prophecies were somewhere between 740 to 680 B.C., so before the time. So Nephi is bringing also those to us here. So let me start, and this is page 152 in the Book of Mormon, with the 12th chapter of the second book of Nephi. It says, "And now behold, my brethren, I have spoken unto you according as the Spirit hath constrained me. Wherefore I know that they must surely come to pass. And the things which shall be written out of the book shall be of great worth unto the children of men, and especially unto our seed, which is a remnant of the house of Israel. For it shall come to pass that in that day that the churches which are built up, and not unto the Lord, when the one shall say unto the other, Behold, I am the Lord's, and the other shall say, I am the Lord's. And thus shall everyone say that hath built up churches, and not unto the Lord. And they shall contend one with another, and their priests shall contend one with another, and they shall teach with their learning, and deny the Holy Ghost, which giveth utterance. And they deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel, and they say unto the people, Hearken unto us, and hear ye our precepts." And so, I think that you can read this and see that this prophecy, these prophecies, have a fit today. That there are so many churches that are built up, each one with their own emphasis or their own precepts, and they all say they're of God. And yeah, they contend one against the other, and they all claim to be of God. And I think some of them, at least most of the ones I know about, don't necessarily clearly deny the power of the Holy Ghost or the power of God, but they more or less rest it, and they depend on it. They lean on their own understanding, which results in them teaching the precepts which are man, the precepts of man, and that they let the Holy Ghost, the guidance of the Holy Ghost, rest. And they make the Holy Ghost something that, something else, that makes them talk in a different way, or it makes them speak in a way that's unknown, which is, you know, to speak in tongues can be of the Holy Ghost. But they limit it to that definition, and they don't let the Holy Ghost teach the words of Christ. So don't let me digress very much more. Let me go ahead and reading. On verse 7, "For behold, there is no..." let me start with the 6th verse. "And they deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel, and they say unto the people, Hearken unto us, and hear our precepts. For behold, there is no God today, for the Lord and the Redeemer hath done his work. He hath given his power unto men. Behold, hearken ye unto my precept, for they shall say there is a miracle wrought by the hand that there..." "Behold, hearken ye unto my precept, for they shall say there is a miracle wrought by the hand of the Lord. Believe it not. For this day he is not a God of miracles. He hath done his work. Yea, and there shall be many which shall say, Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with us. And there shall also be many which shall say, Eat, drink, and be merry. Nevertheless, fear God. He will justify in committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little. Take the advantage of one because of his words. Dig a pit for thy neighbor. There's no harm in this. And do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes. And at last, we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Yea, and there are, excuse me, shall be many which shall teach after this manner false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. And their works shall be in the dark, and their blood, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. These last few verses, I think, talk about something that's very important, and it's, though maybe just to ingrain it in your memory a little, I heard a little joke one time where they, a guy said, you know, the two biggest problems today are ignorance and apathy. It was a teacher that said this. And he asked the students, he said, did you know that? That's the two biggest problems in the world today. And the student said, well, no, I really didn't know that, and I really don't care. So I think what it's really talking about here is it's talking about it's not that important what you do. I think one of my favorite sayings, or my pet peeves, you might even say, is it's just business. You hear all these sayings that somehow you justify acting different than what God has asked us to behave like. I was over at some friends on Friday night, and Linda was talking about reading in the paper and that there are whole pages of home foreclosures. And you see this thing going on every day. There are literally all these hardships that people put on each other. And part of it is is back what I already read to you out of Matthew, where we make poor decisions based on having fine stuff, and we obligate beyond our means, and we're unable to make our payments. And then other people on the other side are, well, you didn't pay me in time, I loaned you the money, and now I'm going to take all your stuff. And it's all kind of guided by greed, and we justify it, being able to do this to people. Like we say, it's just business, you know. Hey, they broke their promise, so now I don't have to keep mine. You know, I want my money back, I want your home, whatever. But I'm just trying to point out that these prophecies, these things that are told about, we're literally living these things today. They apply to us. And we can't be lulled to sleep. I think you'll find that it's too easy to say, yeah, but, you know, people that foreclose on people's homes and so forth, they don't go to church. You know, they don't believe in God, whatever. But, you know, that's just not true. A lot of them are people that are considered very good people. And they, I don't think their intent is to be evil or to be bad. But nevertheless, they're led by the precepts of man. They learn, even as they go to church, that these things are okay. They're lulled to sleep. They become apathetic. They don't think it's that important. And so they fall into these kinds of behaviors, and they make these kind of decisions to the harm of their brother. So let me again start to read here with the 11th verse. And do all these things, for tomorrow we die, and if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Yea, and there shall be many which shall teach after this manner, false and vain and foolish doctrines. They shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsels from the Lord, and their works shall be in the dark, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Yea, they are all gone out of the way. They have become corrupt. Because of pride and because of false teachers and false doctrine, their churches have become corrupted, and their churches are lifted up because of pride. They are puffed up They rob the poor because of their fine sanctuary. They rob the poor because of their fine clothing. They persecute the meek and the poor in heart because in their pride they are puffed up. They wear stiff necks and high heads, yea, and because of pride and wickedness and abominations and whoredoms, they have all gone astray, save it be a few, which are the humble followers of Christ. Nevertheless, they are led that in many instances they do err because they are taught by the precepts of man. Oh, the wise and the learned and the rich that are puffed up in the pride of their hearts, and all they that preach false doctrines, and all they that commit whoredom and pervert the right ways of the Lord. Woe, woe, woe be unto them, saith the Lord God Almighty, for they shall be thrust down to hell. And I know this seems like pretty bleak reading, but I do believe that this is the life that we, the life and times that we are living in, that we do see these things, and that they don't strike us as being so bleak. They strike us as being every day. And one of the things I'm trying to show when reading these prophecies is that to try to do good doesn't simply mean go to church. It's saying that the churches also, in many cases, have become corrupt, and that they teach the precepts of man that you need to know for yourself. And I'm glad that actually we're starting to look at how to study in Sunday school and using Bobby's little guide to do that. We need to learn how to study for ourselves and learn and make good decisions and not depend on the arm of flesh or on others to guide us. Verse 19, woe unto them that turn aside the just for a thing of naught, and revile against that which is good, and say that it is of no worth. For the day shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth, and in that day that they are fully ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. But behold, that great and abominable church, the whore of all the earth, must tumble to the earth, and great must be the fall thereof. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance. Or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others will he pacify and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. And let me emphasize what we read in Matthew again, that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And it's that target that the devil goes after too. He goes after the hearts of men to stir them up to anger. And it's like, you know, if I've gone to a church for years and somebody says, well, why do you do this? The Bible says to do that. Why do you do differently? And it makes them angry. And it's the influence of the devil that's working in them to stir them up to anger. It's also the influence of the devil that lulls people to sleep so they feel like, oh, yeah, you know, there is a little difference there, but it's unimportant. So I do read these prophecies by way of waking us up, by way of helping us to choose today to serve God, to fasten our desires, to make God actually and His teachings our treasure, and to wrap our hearts around Him. and go on reading with the 27th verse. And behold, others he flattereth away, and he telleth them, there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I'm no devil, and there is none. And thus he whispered in their ears until he grasped them with his awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance. Yea, they are grasped with death and hell, and death and hell and the devil and all that hath been seized therewith must stand before the throne of God and be judged according to their works, from whence they must go into the place prepared for them, even a lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Therefore, woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion. Woe be unto him that crieth, all is well. Yea, woe be unto him that hearkeneth unto the precepts of men, and denieth the power of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yea, woe be unto him that saith, we have received, and we need no more. And in fine, woe unto all them that tremble, that are angry because of the truth of God. For behold, they that built upon the rock receiveth it with gladness, and he that buildeth upon a sandy foundation trembleth, lest he shall fall. Woe be unto him that shall say, we have received the word of God, and we need no more the word of God, for we have enough. For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, and there a little. And blessed are they that hearken unto my precepts, and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth, I will give more. And to them that shall say, we have enough, from them shall be taken away even that which they have. Cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm, or shall hearken unto the precepts of man. They, their precepts shall be given by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I want to say a few words around this, where God said that if you will receive his word, he will give you more. And I believe that that's both more by way of understanding and wisdom. I believe that it's more by way of actual resources to look at and take guidance from, to learn his word and to cling closely to him. And then it says that if you don't receive his word, that he'll take away that which you have. And let me put that back into perception a little bit and talk about that also. How does the word get taken away from you? You know, the Bible has been on the bestseller list for years. But I think a couple things happen. One of which, more and more as the years go by, you have new interpretations, I'll call them, of the Bible that have come out. Watered down versions. Though we are often taught from the churches that, oh, this is a little clearer. I know the New International Version is thought to be much clearer, easier to read than the King James Version. In fact, if you think about it, though, it has over 64,000 less words in it than the King James Version. It's hard to comprehend that might have been a profitable thing to do. I think we need all that we can get. And I think it's just I give it as an illustration of the word, since you don't feel like you can understand it all or it's too hard or whatever, then you begin to lose it. It gets taken away, literally, in number. I also believe that once you reach the point that you actually no longer believe, then you just simply rest the scriptures, and you lose them in that way. So I believe these things are true, and that we're actually living these things today. Where shall I start? Was it 29, maybe? Where was I?
Yeah, you stopped on verse 40.
Yeah.
Oh, I turned back, actually. Okay, woe be unto the Gentiles, saith the Lord God of hosts. For notwithstanding I shall lengthen out mine arm unto them from day to day, they will deny me. Nevertheless, I will be merciful unto them, saith the Lord, if they will repent and come unto me. For mine arm is lengthened out all the day long, saith the Lord God of hosts. But behold, there shall be many in that day, when I shall proceed to do a marvelous work among them, that I may remember my covenant, which I have made unto the children of men, that I may set my hand again the second time to recover my people, which are of the house of Israel. And also I may remember the promises which I have made unto them, made unto thee, Nephi, and also to thy father, that I would remember your seed, and that the words of your seed should proceed forth out of my mouth unto this seed, and my words shall hiss forth unto the ends of the earth for a standard unto my people, which are of the house of Israel. And because my word shall hiss forth, many of the Gentiles shall say, a Bible, a Bible. We have got a Bible, and there cannot be any more Bible. But thus saith the Lord God, O fool, they shall have a Bible, and it shall proceed forth from the Jews, mine ancient covenant people. And what thank ye, what thank they, the Jews, for the Bible, which they receive from them? Yea, what do the Gentiles mean? Do they remember the travails and the labors and the pains of the Jews, and their diligence unto me in bringing forth salvation unto the Gentiles? O ye Gentiles, have ye remembered the Jews, mine ancient covenant people? Nay, but ye have cursed them, and have hated them, and have not sought to recover them. But behold, I will return all these things upon your own heads, for I, the Lord, have not forgotten my people. Thou fool, that shall say, a Bible, we have got a Bible, and we need no more Bible. Have ye obtained a Bible, save it were by the Jews? Know ye not that there are more nations than one? Know ye not that I, the Lord your God, have created all man, and that I remember they which are on the isles of the sea, and that I rule in the heavens above and in the earth beneath? And I bring forth my word unto the children of men, yea, even upon all the nations of the earth. Wherefore murmur ye, because that ye have, I'm on verse 58, wherefore murmur ye, because that ye shall receive more of my word? Know ye not that the testimony of two nations is a witness unto you that I am God? And that I remember one nation like unto another? Wherefore I speak the same words unto one nation like unto another. And when the two nations shall run together, the testimony of the two nations shall run together. And we see how this record that I'm actually reading out of now, which was actually the workings of God that occurred on this continent, in the Americas, how it runs together, and how it speaks of the Bible and the coming forth of the Bible through the Jews, and that the teachings there actually run together. They're not contrary one to another. They testify of each other. Verse 62, and I do this that I may prove unto many that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that I speak forth my words according to mine own pleasure. And because that I have spoken one word, ye need not suppose that I cannot speak another. For my work is not yet finished, neither shall it be until the end of man, neither from that time henceforth and forever. Wherefore, because that ye have a Bible, ye need not suppose that it containeth all my words, neither shall ye suppose that I have not caused more to be written. For I commanded all men, both in the east and in the west and in the north and in the south and in the islands of the sea, that they shall write the words which I speak unto them. For out of the books which shall be written, I will judge the world, every man according to his works, according to that which is written. And behold, I shall speak unto the Jews, and they shall write it. I shall also speak unto the Nephites, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto the tribes of the house of Israel, which I have led away, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto all the nations of the earth, and they shall write it. And it shall come to pass that the Jews shall have the words of the Nephites, and the Nephites shall have the words of the Jews. And we know that, you know, in the Bible, one of the things it says is that if everything was truly written down that Jesus did, that the earth itself could not contain the volume thereof. So, yeah, everything is not necessarily written in the Bible as we have it today. And in fact, there was a period in history where they call it the canonization of the Bible, where a group of scholars got together and took many books out of the Bible and decided that they didn't belong there. So again, according to the learning of man, the precepts of man, since we did not accept it all, it was taken away at that time. Let me begin with verse 71. And it shall come to pass that the Jews shall have the words of the Nephites, and the Nephites shall have the words of the Jews, and the Nephites and the Jews shall have the words of the lost tribes of Israel, and the lost tribes of Israel shall have the words of the Nephites and the Jews. And it shall come to pass that my people, which are of the house of Israel, shall be gathered home unto the lands of their possessions, and my word also shall be gathered in one. And I will shew unto them that fight against my word and against my people, which are of the house of Israel, that I am God, and that I covenanted with Abraham, that I would remember his seed forever. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you, for I, Nephi, would not suffer that ye should suppose that ye are more righteous than the Gentiles shall be. For behold, except ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall all likewise perish. And because of the words which have been spoken, ye need not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed. For behold, I say unto you, as many of the Gentiles as will repent are the covenant people of the Lord, and as many of the Jews as will not repent shall be cast off. For the Lord covenanted with none, save it be with them that repent and believe with his Son, or believe in his Son, which is the Holy One of Israel. For the Lord covenanted with none, save it be them that repent and believe in his Son, which is the Holy One of Israel. And that's again why I speak of being single in your focus. There is none other name given under heaven save Jesus, by which we can be saved. Verse 79, and now I would prophesy somewhat more concerning the Jews and the Gentiles, for after the book which I have spoken shall come forth, and be written unto the Gentiles, and sealed up again unto the Lord, there shall be many which shall believe the words which are written, and they shall carry them forth unto the remnant of our seed. And then shall the remnant of our seed know concerning us, how that we came out from Jerusalem, and that they are a descendant of the Jews. And the gospel of Jesus Christ shall be declared unto them, or among them, wherefore they shall be restored unto the knowledge of their fathers, and also to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which was had among their fathers. And then shall they rejoice, for they shall know that it is a blessing unto them from the hand of God. And their scales of darkness shall begin to fall from their eyes, and many generations shall not pass away among them say they shall be a white and delightsome people. And it shall come to pass that the Jews which are scattered also shall begin to believe in Christ, and they shall begin to gather in upon the face of the land. And as many as shall believe in Christ shall also become a delightsome people. And it shall come to pass that the Lord God shall commence his work among all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people to bring about the restoration of his people upon the earth. And with righteousness shall the Lord God judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. For the time speedily cometh that the Lord God shall cause a great division among the people, and the wicked will he destroy, and he will spare his people, yea, even if it so be that he must destroy the wicked by fire. And righteousness shall be the gird of his loins, and faithfulness the gird of his reins. And then shall the wolf dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, and shall feed their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Wherefore, the things of all nations shall be made known, yea, all things shall be made known unto the children of men. There is nothing which is secret, save it shall be revealed. There is no work of darkness, save it shall be made manifest in the light. And there is nothing which is sealed upon earth, save it shall be loosed. Wherefore, all things which have been revealed unto the children of men shall at that day be revealed, and Satan shall have power over the hearts of the children of men no more for a long time. And now, my beloved brethren, I must make an end of my saying. And I think another concept that is deceptive among the hearts of the people in this day is, shall we call it compartmentalization? It's where you feel like, you know, like the things you do at work are separate from your spiritual life. And this is a false belief. The things that influence our spirit, the things that are going on in our heart, the choice that we make as far as who is our king, who is our leader, these are revealed in our behaviors. And it doesn't matter whether you're at work or whether you're at school or whether you're in a place that you feel like no one will see you and you do no harm and you set no bad example. It's just never true. I was sitting talking with a friend of mine at work this past week, and we were talking about some of the trials and tribulations that we're going through individually. And one of the things that we talked a little bit about the end is that We tend to think of those trials that are physical, those trials that are, you know, the things that go on at work, and those things that are actually spiritual. But one of the things I think we actually agreed on at the end is that in the end, all trials are spiritual. It's that influence that it has within our soul, within our heart. It's the things that actually make us waver or make us weak in our spirit. That's the whole story. And so we must wake up. We must think about who do we serve, and we have to make a choice. It's not, you're not a victim. You're making a choice who you will serve. You're making a choice of the light that guides you. You're making a choice as far as whether you are guided by the precepts of man, or by the power of the Holy Ghost, the influence of God in your life to guide you. I know that today I'm reading a lot, but I really don't have much left here to read. I'm going to continue through chapter 13, 14, and 15, but they're very short. They're shorter than what I've read previously. I know that our time is spent, but I feel like these things are important. I'm going to continue until I'm done, which shouldn't take too long. I'm on page 160, and I'm going to start reading the 13th chapter. "And now I, Nephi, make an end of my prophesying unto you, my beloved brethren. And I cannot write but a few things, which I know must surely come to pass. Neither can I write but a few of the words of my brother Jacob. Wherefore the things which I have written sufficeth me, save it be a few words which I must speak concerning the doctrine of Christ. Wherefore I shall speak unto you plainly, according to the plainness of my prophesying. For my soul delighteth in plainness, for after this manner doth the Lord God work among the children of men. For the Lord God giveth light unto the understanding, for he speaketh unto men according to their language, unto their understanding. Wherefore I would that ye should remember that I have spoken unto you concerning that prophet which the Lord shewed unto me, that should baptize the Lamb of God, which should take away the sin of the world. And now, if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh then, how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water? And now I would ask of you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water? Know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding he being holy, he sheweth unto the children of man that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before the Father, and witnesseth unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. Wherefore after that he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. And again, it sheweth unto the children of men the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter, he having set the example before them. And he saith unto the children of men, follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, say we shall be willing to keep the commandments of the Father. And the Father saith, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost, like unto me. Wherefore, follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ, by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and your Savior, down into the water, according to his word, behold, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and then can ye speak with the tongue of angels, and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after that ye have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that ye are willing to keep his commandments by the baptism of water, and have received the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and can speak with a new tongue, yea, even with the tongue of angels, and after this should deny me, it would have been better for you that ye had not known me. And I heard a voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this that unless a man shall endure to the end in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you that I have seen that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto you, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in his straight and narrow path, which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate, ye have done according to his commandments, done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son, and ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye enter in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way, nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. And I'll continue with chapter 14. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after that ye have entered in by the way. But behold, why do ye ponder these things in your hearts? Do ye not remember that I said unto you that after ye had received the Holy Ghost, ye could speak with the tongue of angels? And now, how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I say unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will teach you all things what ye should do. Wherefore now, after that I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, again I say unto you, that if ye will enter in by the way, and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew unto you all things that ye should do. Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and there will be no more doctrine given until after he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh. And when he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh, the things which he shall say unto you shall ye observe to do. Now I, Nephi, cannot say more. The Spirit stoppeth mine utterance, and I am left to mourn because of the unbelief and the wickedness and the ignorance and the stiff-neckedness of men. For they will not search knowledge, nor understand great knowledge when it is given unto them in plainness, even as plain as word can be. And now, my beloved brethren, I perceive that ye ponder still in your hearts, and it grieveth me that I must speak concerning this thing. For if ye would hearken unto the Spirit, which teacheth a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you, that ye must pray always and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. Chapter 15. And now I, Nephi, cannot write all the things which were wrought among my people, which were taught among my people, Neither am I mighty in writing like unto speaking. For when a man speaketh by the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost carrieth it into the hearts of the children of men. But behold, there are many that harden their hearts against the Holy Spirit, and it hath no place in them, Wherefore they cast many things away which are written, and esteem them as things of naught. But I, Nephi, have written what I have written, and I esteem it as of great worth, and especially unto my people. For I pray continually for them by day, and mine eyes water my pillow by night because of them. And I cry unto my God in faith, and I know that he will hear my cry, and I know that the Lord God will consecrate my prayers for the gain of my people. And the things which I have written in weakness will he make strong unto them. For it persuadeth them to do good, it maketh known unto them of their fathers, and it speaketh of Jesus, and persuadeth men to believe in him and to endure to the end, which is life eternal. And it speaketh harsh against sin, according to the plainness of the truth. Wherefore no man can be angry at the words which I have written, neither shall be of the spirit of the devil. I glory in plainness, I glory in truth, I glory in my Jesus, for he hath redeemed my soul from hell. I have charity for my people, and great faith in Christ, that I shall meet many souls spotless at his judgment seat. I have charity for the Jew, I say the Jew, because I mean them from whence I came. And I also have charity for the Gentiles, for behold, for none of them can I hope, except they shall be concealed, they could be, behold, for none of these can I hope, except they shall be reconciled unto Christ, and enter into the narrow gate, and walk in the straight path, which leads to life, and continue in the path, until the end of the day of probation. And now, my beloved brethren, and also Jew, and also ye, all ye ends of the earth, hearken unto these words, and believe in Christ. And if ye believe not in these words, believe in Christ. And if ye shall believe in Christ, ye shall believe in these words, for they are the words of Christ, and he hath given them unto me, and they teach all men that they should do good. And if they are not the words of Christ, judge ye. For Christ will shew unto you with power and great glory that they are his words at the last day. And you and I shall stand face to face before his bar, and ye shall know that I have been commanded of him to write these things, notwithstanding my weakness. And I pray the Father in the name of Christ that many of us, if not all, may be saved in his kingdom at that great and last day. And now, my beloved brethren, all they which are of the house of Israel, and all ye ends of the earth, I speak unto you as the voice of one crying from the dust. Farewell until that great day shall come. And you that will not partake of the goodness of God, and respect the words of the Jews, and also my words, and the words which shall proceed forth out of the mouth of the Lamb of God, behold, I bid you an everlasting farewell, for these words shall condemn you at the last day. For what I feel on earth shall be brought against you at the judgment bar, for thus hath the Lord commanded me, and I must obey. Amen. I know this is a long reading. I would that you would even take your own time and go back and even read through it slowly. Take the guidance that you find there. Above all, realize the importance of each moment that you live. Realize the importance of choosing today who you will serve. I'm turning over to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Verse 36. Matthew 22nd chapter and 36th verse. It says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So it's when we choose who we serve, we literally, it's a matter of heart and mind. It's not just about your conscious decisions, but it's also choosing that spirit that's going to possess your heart and guide you. Let me end by borrowing a few words from Joshua again. That same verse that I borrowed from before, it's in Joshua the 24th chapter and 15th verse. Because I want us each to be able to say this, and the words I would borrow at this time are, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So let's do wake up. Let's do follow our only guide, our only living Savior. Let's make the choice to serve Him, to be guided by Him, and continue that way. I hope that you'll pray for me in this endeavor, and I will also pray for you. Thanks for listening. I read so much today, and God be with you. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. I know my kids remember those, was it 13th, 14th, and 15th chapters, because that was an assignment that we had from an earlier sermon to go read. And I think it points out to us that, you know, we were talking about just study habits this morning in Sunday school, and then, but through the sermon, I think that we need those study habits. We need to learn, because those are the things that help us to know when we hear things, whether they're consistent with what God's done in the past or they're inconsistent and, or at least seem to be inconsistent and require some further investigation to determine if they are in fact of God. So I think that's important for us to have that basis, that foundation that we can build from. And thanks, I know it was a lot of reading, Jerry, but it was really worthwhile.
Thank you.
And let's see, Brian, are you there? Brian? Are you guys muted? Well, I'll have to follow up on that later. Jeremiah, would you say a closing prayer for us?
Sure. Dear God, thanks for this nice time that we were able to spend together, and prove us to put what we got out from the sermon and put it in our lives today, and please guide all of us and forgive us for our sins. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bye.
Love you guys.
Love you
Talk
guys.
To you again soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks, Jerry.